This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour is brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. The best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, lots and lots of water. You need that water more than ever the next few days. Soft drink snacks, they roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Yeah, hot days, 90s, all the way through Sunday. You know, I've got a couple of games this week between State College and Williamsport over at the ballpark tomorrow and Wednesday. So, needless to say, you know, hey, look, it's going to feel like baseball weather. Right? Now, after that, it's you look at the advanced forecast, and to be honest with you, after that, it kind of just settles down into a normal summer, you know, mid-80s, things like that. So this apparently is, at least for now, the heat wave. The heat wave. And it's hot. Hot, hot, hot. All right. We talked about the U.S. Open, and the Celtics will play the Mavericks tonight in Game 5 in Boston. It was just mentioned on the news about that. The Mavericks were just outstanding. It's interesting how the Stanley Cup Final and the NBA Finals have played out essentially the same way to this point. That Florida had a chance to close it out on the road. Stanley Cup's in the building on, Saturday night? And the Oilers blew them out 8-1. You're like, holy mackerel, where'd that come from? Right? Well, Mavericks in Game 4, Larry O'Brien Trophy is in the building, and they blew the Celtics out. I mean, it wasn't even a competitive game. So they'll play Game 5 tonight in Boston, and we'll see how it plays out. I thought Derek Lively, let's face it, local kid, terrific player, and yes, I remember him as a little guy. It's kind of hard to imagine Derek as a little guy, but I remember as a little guy. Kathy bringing him over to the gym. And then when Kathy Drysdale passed away, the last time I saw Kathy, I want to say it was November, and at that point she told me she was going back to Dallas. I said, okay. And, of course, we know what it was. In February Kathy passed away? I mean, she had battled this for 10 years. She was in remission. It looked like she was cancer-free. Then it came back. Unfortunately, came back with a vengeance. And I said, you have to look at as many of the positives in life as possible. And I said, you think about in her life and for Derek as well. She at least was able to fight through this for 10 years. And a great fighter. I mean, she was like that as a player for the Lady Lions. She was Kathy Phillips. And when she was able to fight through this long enough to see her son graduate from high school, sign a letter of intent to play at Duke, play a year at Duke, be a first-round draft pick in the NBA, and then got to see her son play in the NBA and play at the highest level and play well at the highest level. Remember, his opening night game was outstanding. She at least got to see all that. And he at least will know that for the rest of his life that his mom was able to see him accomplish all that. Now, he has more to accomplish. He has more to accomplish, but at least he knows that she saw a lot of important milestones, that she saw that. You always want more. But I'm somebody that always wants to look at the positives out of it, and those are some of the positives I look at out of that when I see him play. So he'll be out there tonight along with Doncic and P.J. Washington and Kyrie Irving and the gang, and the Celtics will look to see if they can find a way to win at home.
Steve, do you think the Celtics took their foot off the gas in Game 4 in Dallas because they wanted to come back and win it in Boston?
Nobody ever does that. Anybody does that is a fool. There's human nature to it, and I think what happens is they fell behind early in the game, and they just realized they couldn't turn it on, because when you have an opportunity to win, and the Celtics had an opportunity to close out Golden State a few years ago. Remember that? They had a chance to go up 3-1 in that series and put a hammer lock on it.
Yeah.
And lost control of the series. So these veterans, Brown, right, Tatum, right, they've been through it, and they know what it's like to lose control of the series.
Yeah.
And Golden State beat them. So they're not, you know, that's why you saw Brown and Tatum at the end of Game 3 embrace, because it was a big hurdle for them. I think they just went out there, and when the shots weren't falling and they were falling for Dallas, they just kind of like, okay, this isn't happening. It's the same way with Florida and Edmonton. Dallas on its home floor was going to put out its best. Celtics sort of knew that, but they're going to put out their best in Game 3, and they won it anyway. Right? Same thing with Florida. They went out there, and Florida just lost control of the game early, and Edmonton beat them 8-1. So those things happen. I mean, maybe not that dramatically, but they happen. And it's not because they're like, oh, we'll take our we're fine. We don't have to do it. You know, you do that, you're dead at this point. Right? You just can't say, hey, we'd rather win it at home. You have no control over that. And remember, the Celtics, that's the first road game they've lost in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, you realize they've gone all the way through here. They've lost one road game, and that was Friday night. They've actually lost twice at home. They're both game twos, but they've lost twice at home. So, and when they lost to the Warriors, the deciding game was in Boston. So these guys have been through that. They don't need to go through that again. I mean, they don't need to go through that.
Right. Do you think there's anything Jrue Holiday or Jason Tatum can do to take the Finals MVP away from Jaylen Brown, or does Jaylen Brown have it locked up at this point?
There are so many things. Now, Blake, you've listened to me for a long time. There's so many things I think that are irrelevant, and that's one of them. It's a great talking point. It's something when the series is over you want to talk about. Jrue Holiday has won a championship with Milwaukee. He knows how difficult it is to do. In fact, he had to go to a Game 7 against Phoenix with the Bucks to win it. And Giannis had a 50-point game. It was just one of those phenomenal nights. So he knows how hard it is to win it. Tatum's lost it and was hurt in the finals against Golden State. He knows how hard it is to win it. So I think they can worry about it. Like, once the final score goes up and they have more points, then they can worry about who the MVP is. I think those two guys just want to win something.
Oh, yeah. I agree. That's not for them to worry about. That's for the fans to discuss. Like, when a series gets this dry, as it's been kind of stale, in my opinion, especially when they're up 3-0, that's kind of the top discussion point is, okay, well, who's the best player on the Celtics team, because there's so many guys playing good?
Well, I think that what's really – when you have a team – okay. When you have a team where you're doing a game, and Dick Girardi and I will be doing a game, or Jack Hamley and I will be doing a game, when you have to debate what's better, the offense or the defense, you're having a great night or a great day. When you have to debate who's in reality is your best player and you're a winning team, you're a winning team. Okay, and you have to debate who your best player is, you have a really good team. I mean, that to me is a sign of a really good team. When you have to debate among, like, okay, well, actually, who is the best player on this team? Well, that's a pretty good, healthy debate to have.
Yeah.
Because you're winning.
Yeah.
Right? And that actually tells you something about how good the team is when it's, okay. And I've talked about, look, Brad Stevens has done a phenomenal job with this team. He changed up the team. The team had five of the same guy out there. In a lot of ways. You know? Tatum is a lot like Brown. Okay? Brown's a lot like Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart's a lot like Malcolm Brogdon. Malcolm Brogdon's a lot like Derek White. To some small way, they're also a lot like Al Horford. Well, he takes Smart and engineers a deal that eventually lands in Porzingis. He takes Brogdon, sends him to Portland, gets Drew Holiday. Holiday's different than the other guys. Porzingis is exponentially different than the other guys. And he changed the team and the makeup of the team on the floor as to what you have to guard. Instead of having to guard the same guy the entire time, now you've got different guys that bring with it different challenges and different matchups. And sports are all about matchups. All the time. I go to a football game. If my left tackle is better than their defensive end, I'm running left. I remember I saw a documentary on John Madden where he said, yeah, at one point I was criticized because we're just a left-handed team. We just run the ball left all the time. He says, well, okay. He says, I had Jim Otto, Hall of Fame center. I had Gene Upshaw, Hall of Fame left guard. And I had Art Shell, Hall of Fame left tackle. He says, exactly which way am I running? Exactly. That's why you have all sorts of these irrelevant analysis of, they're just a left-handed team. Well, if I had those three guys, I'd be a left-handed team, too. You've got to be an idiot not to get behind them and run it.
Right?
And it's the same thing with this. You try to exploit matchups as best you can. And because you can put different guys on the floor, different kinds of guys, you then create different matchup problems out there for opposing teams. And the Celtics were not creating as many matchup problems before because they had pretty much a lot of the same guy out there. And that's where this team has been better than other teams that were really good for Boston, because now they create different types of matchups as matchup problems. And that's really important. Really important.
Yeah. They went out and they got... It's one thing to go get superstars. You know, the Phoenix Suns had some money to spend, so they got, you know, an available superstar in Bradley Beal. And the Lakers and the Clippers can have all the All-NBA guys you want. But until you actually handcraft a team that's going to pass the ball and play defense and do more than just score, and they actually mesh together, you're not going to win anything. And somehow Brad Stevens knows that. I mean, he's just done a great job facilitating this team. I think Derek White's been the glue. Porzingis, obviously, a great addition. And any team would love to have Drew Holiday because he plays so good at both ends mm-hmm. of the floor.
Right. And like the star thing is interesting. It's interesting how they designate guys that are a star quality in the league. And I don't follow the same line of thinking. Do I think Bradley Beal, for example, is really talented? Yes. Do I think he is a star? No.
Well, they just look at the paper. They look and they see the numbers, and Bradley Beal averaged like 31 points a game as a Wizard, but I mean that's on one of the worst teams in the league. Can he go to a winning team and contribute a winning role? You know, I think we've seen how people try to build these super teams and how they don't work, because you can't build based off, you know, the stats in the paper. You got to watch the game and you got to see what these guys can do for your team, and you got to fill needs. And that's exactly what the Celtics did. That is not what the Suns did, and they're an exact example of what not to do. Whereas the Celtics, and I think teams like the Pacers and obviously the Mavericks are showing, and the Nuggets obviously are showing you what to do. You gotta surround your stars with good role players who can play defense as well. Because all regular season, you got players who can score the ball, and these games are going to 120 and 130. But when you get to the playoffs, these games are, you know, 95, 96 points for each team, and they're low scoring, and every point is worth more, and defense is worth so much more. So these offensive-oriented teams, they're just not going to make it as far as teams who can play defense like the Celtics and now the Mavericks.
Well, it's interesting. You know what I think is always hard to judge? When you have a team that is lousy or mediocre. How about mediocre?
Sure.
A team that is mediocre. How do you judge the best player on that team? Because everything literally goes through them. Damian Lillard, everything went through him. Now, he did play well with C.J. McCollum, but everything in Portland went through him. Bradley Beal in Washington, everything went through him. Well, now he goes to Phoenix, Beal does, and there's Kevin Durant. There's Devin Booker. I mean, they have other people there that they can go to besides him, and I think it's always difficult to judge the best player on a mediocre team where they're it and they're the only option.
Yeah.
And now they have to go and they have to play within a team concept where they can still get theirs. A perfect example is Russell Westbrook. When Russell Westbrook was the show in Oklahoma City, he averaged a triple-double. Great. So then, well, if we get Russell Westbrook, we're over the top. No. Everywhere he's gone since, it's been no.
It's all about the fit. It's got to be a good fit. And I like the point you made earlier. There's a difference between a talented player and a winning player. And I think the most important stat in basketball, especially if you're trying to orchestrate a team that's going to win games, is the plus-minus. Do good things happen when they're on the court? Do they have a positive point differential when they're on the court? Bradley Beal's plus-minus was always awful. I'm a Wizards fan, unfortunately, and I remember looking at those box scores, and I remember seeing Bradley Beal minus 15, Bradley Beal minus 18. And then you look at guys like Daniel Gafford, or, you know, when he played for the Spurs, and Derek White. You look at their plus-minus, and it's, plus 5, plus 6. And good things just seem to happen when they're on the court. So if you get five of those guys together, like Brad Stevens did, and now he's also added Horford off the bench, Peyton Pritchard's coming into his own, good things just seem to happen more and more. And this Celtics team is unfortunately a team that is going to be very hard to beat two times in a row. Nobody's done it in the playoffs, and I don't even think many teams did it in the regular season. I think this series is a done deal.
Well, we'll find out tonight, but I think it's always important that no matter who you are, and this goes for any business you're in, I don't care whether it's radio, I don't care whether it's broadcasting a game, I don't care whether it's working in office, or whether you're playing basketball or football. Do you have the ability to make people around you better? And do you have the ability to accept the fact that other people can make you better? And that, to me, has always been one of the key parts. You know, always desire to work with people who can make you better, no matter what. And that goes for basketball. You just can't go in and go, hey, I'm here, let's go, just give me the ball, we'll play. No, you have to have the ability to make people around you better and then accept the fact that you have people around you who can make you better. And that's why some of these guys, I don't think, can understand or accept that. Winning teams have that kind of combination. Enough people around them where they understand they can make them better and that in turn can make you better. We'll come back with more in a moment. This half hour being brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Needed this week more than ever here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could chop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market it and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
Game five tomorrow night in Florida between the Panthers and the Oilers. We shall see how it plays out. And that is tonight and tomorrow, both on ABC. The Phillies continue to win. I know it's been a rough couple series with Baltimore and Boston, but they got Trey Turner back tonight. And that'll be big. I mean, Turner's played, 33 games? And I didn't realize he already had 10 stolen bases in the 33 games. I mean, he's gonna put some jump back into that lineup. He'd already been hitting 343 when he got hurt. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All in Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
An in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Not just somebody who talks about it. I bought brand new 2024 Ford Explorer. Stanger, Chris was incredible dealing with him. Same thing with the financing part of it, all set. Can't say enough about the staff. Can't say enough about the inventory, the vehicle I have, all the way through. You'll get even better treatment than that. That's what they do. Customer service means everything to them. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. That's so important. That eases the buying experience if you're looking for a pre-owned vehicle. And the service department, terrific. Routine, you need that. There are moments, unfortunately, you need even more difficult. They can handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Rory McIlroy may not have talked to the media yesterday, but Bryson DeChambeau did. He told reporters, "Rory is one of the best to ever play. Being able to fight against a great like that is pretty special. For him to miss that putt, I'd never want to wish that on anybody. It just happened to play out that way." DeChambeau is convinced, though, that the drought for Rory McIlroy is ending soon, saying he'll win multiple more major championships. There's no doubt I think that fire in him is going to continue to grow. I have nothing but respect for him and how he plays the game of golf, because to be honest, when he was climbing up the leaderboard, he was two ahead, and I was like, uh-oh. But lucky things went my way today. He said, Rory's going to do it down the road. He's a strong-minded individual. I'd love to have a lot more battles with him. It would be a lot of fun. But yeah, Rory's going to do it at some point. You always need to somehow figure out a way to handle both success and failure. And for the vast, vast, vast majority of his career, Rory McIlroy has done exactly that. He's handled both. Now, did he handle it well yesterday? No, he did not. And we know that. We talked about how he just, like, left. Okay. But I'm not going to let that define him in any way, shape, or form, because I've seen him so many times where he's had second place finishes, near misses, and victories, and he's always handled himself extremely well. Bryson DeChambeau was on the range getting ready for a playoff with Xander Schauffele at the PGA Championship at Valhalla. Schauffele then rolls in the putt on 18 on the 72nd hole, wins. DeChambeau waited for him and congratulated him after the disappointment of not winning. Now, in victory, he talks about his primary opponent on this particular day in glowing terms. It is difficult to do as you face challenges in life. And it's not just an athlete, everyday life. What kind of person are you when things don't go well? Are you able to keep a positive attitude? Are you able to, when others come up to you and go, oh, hey, and you end up making them feel better? Do you figure out, okay, what do I need to do now? How do I need to get better? What do I need to find? You know, what can I do? But you do that internally, or else you ask people you trust about it. But you keep grinding with a positive attitude. But the other test of character is when you have success. Are you the same kind of person you've always been? No ego, easy to get along with, positive of other people, making sure that you let other people know who helped you get to where you happen to be, and being humble about it. And I've been around people like that. Jack Ham is as humble as it gets, and he's accomplished everything in life. Everything. Humble? It's incredible. It's almost like the next step up the ladder for him. That's how down-to-earth he is. Dick Girardi's the same way. Both accomplished a lot. They're both just humble, down-to-earth people. Right? And then I've seen people go through bad things. There was a guy that worked here in State College in radio by the name of Pat Boland. Pat Boland worked in radio here for, 20 years, maybe 25. And Pat got cancer. And Pat fought it. I was talking about Kathy Drysdale earlier. Pat fought it tooth and nail. And I never one time heard him say a negative thing about his situation. He always was positive. He had treatments done over at Geisinger. And I happened to be at Geisinger one day, and I saw him. And I said, hey, how's it going? He goes, no, I'm going to be fine. I'm doing great, you know. Always was like that. He made you feel better when you were done talking to him. That's what I'm talking about. There's somebody going through something awful, and he's making you feel better. And then I've worked around people who have had tremendous success, and they make down to earth look like the next rung up the ladder, because they're just so humble about everything. And we saw that yesterday. I mean, let's give DeChambeau credit. He handle it with victory, with great grace. And that's always important to do. At least in my opinion, that's important to do. And I know that when I that's really part of the speech I gave as a commencement address a few years ago. And in that commencement address, I mean, that's what I talked about. So you'll face these two tests of character during the course of your lives. How do you handle each? So the something that is very interesting as a side note to the NBA is who is going to broadcast it after next year. The same situation's coming up next year. So there's no doubt ESPN's in. They're done. Their contract is finished. They're all set. Then there's NBC, and it looks like NBC is exactly in the spot it needs to be in to get that second spot, which knocks out TNT because they say Amazon's the third one. Okay, they're going to stream it. Except the New York Times is now reporting that Warner Brothers Discovery, which is Turner, is going to attempt to exercise its matching rights on Amazon's portion of the deal. Now, they say this is going to be tricky to do, but the Times reported this, that Warner Brothers Discovery has the contractual right to match third-party offers. It is likely to try to match Amazon's offer, according to a person familiar with the company's thinking. But the NBA's lawyers are still trying to determine how the contract defines matching rights. That's according to two people familiar with the negotiations, given that the company would want to show how many would want to show many of the games on TNT and Amazon would stream them on Prime Video. It's also complicated by the fact, according to the report, that these contracts were written in 2014. The streaming of sports was in its infancy at the time. Essentially, according to the report, Warner Brothers Discovery, Turner, will be arguing that its willingness to match the financial terms of Amazon's agreement meets the criteria for its contractual matching rights. The NBA is going to offer that Amazon offers a non-monetary value as a platform that WBD can't, or TNT, can't provide. Same could be said of the NBA's reported rights package with NBC, whose status as both a network broadcast channel and a streamer is appealing to the league beyond the rights fee. Now, it should be pointed out that Warner Brothers Discovery not only has TNT, they do have Max streaming service at its disposal. And they say that maintaining an NBA presence on TNT appears to be the company's priority, but barring a victory in a legal fight in which it would find itself partnering with an unhappy league or the NBA creating a fourth package, some say that the effort appears to be too little too late. It's interesting. And, of course, we heard about Charles Barkley saying, hey, I'm going to retire. Okay. After this is over with. Hey, very well may. I don't know. But so that I mean, if you notice, here they are, the contract of for everybody runs out at midnight of the last game of the finals next year. And they still haven't announced yet what they're going to do. And everybody knows ESPN's getting their part. Everybody knows that. That's already set. But they haven't made any announcement yet. Not even the ESPN part's been announced, even though everybody knows it's locked up. It's very rare when it goes down to the wire like that. It's not like with the Big Ten, with the Big Ten's deal, because they're all set to go. They're going to announce it, you know, was it 15 months before the first game of the new contract? And then but then all of a sudden USC and UCLA got involved as Big Ten members. So they didn't announce it until August instead of Memorial Day weekend. So they announced it about a year Now, that's because of two critical additions that brought everybody more money. This continues to be a fight internally, and TNT's trying now to do everything they can to keep it. If they put in a bid that was even with NBC's to begin with, they probably would have had it, but they didn't. So. Take a break. This half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com and News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
Okay, Live for Life was last Thursday, and great job of raising money. It was also great to see some of the other guys get into the mix. Tysier Denmark, the wide receivers here. Kenny Woosley's now here. You know, DeJuan Lane, guys like that. So first chance to really get a good long look at them. Yeah, what I take out of it is I want to see what kind of shape these guys are in. I want to see just where they are at this particular stage. There's nothing to draw out of it. Now, you do want to also see who's banged up a little bit. And for the most part, these guys, nobody's out. It's good to see Drew Shelton back out there. Now, Shelton does need a little more weight on him. But, you know, they'll take care of that. But that's what you want to see, is where they are at the stage. Everything goes in stages leading up to the season, so we're in that stage right now. And Live for Life gives you a glimpse as to where they are. You also get to see the leadership part of it. Nick Dawkins continues to be a leader. Devon Ellis is a leader. Guys like that that fall into place as leaders on the team. I'm going to get a look at the basketball team a couple times this week because they're back on the practice floor this week. So I want to see what the freshmen look like, see what the transfers look like, and see how everything meshes together over there and start doing that. But everything goes in stages. Doesn't mean you sit there. I try to go out, and when I make speeches, I know the next one I have is Thursday night in Johnstown I have to do. You just tell people what's going on. It's like some people think it's, it's pie in the sky. You just talk to people. That's all you do. I don't tell people which games you're going to win, lose, or anything like that. I don't play that game. I stopped doing that years ago. 30 years ago today, I was covering the U.S. Open at Oakmont. It was Arnold Palmer's last U.S. Open. It was a Friday. I was walking up the 18th fairway. I remember standing there, and everybody's just going crazy. Unfortunately, he missed a putt, would have brought the house down. But so then he tapped in, he's done. Then he went into the media room, and when he was done, he couldn't answer questions. He tried to, and he was just so emotional. And he finally got up. He said, "I'm so sorry." He said, "I can't do this." And the media gave him a standing ovation. It was also the same day of the NBA Finals between the Rockets and the Knicks. It was also the same day that the first time they ever used the score bug on a TV broadcast. It was today. And it's also the day that O.J. went for the trip in the Bronco with Al Cowlings. Bizarre, huh? When they put the... So the one we'll talk about, because we've talked about the other stuff before, especially with O.J. passing away this year. But the score bug. It's amazing now when you look back at, you know, and every channel has great games of the past. Big Ten Network does, SEC Network does, NFL Network does. And if they go past a certain point, anything pre-1994, you're sitting there now saying, well, where's the score and the time? Yeah. Where is the score and the time? Because it's not there. That's how much we depend on it now. And it's interesting that something I have to impart to students in a broadcasting class is that when they're doing radio, they have to remember to give the time and score, time and score, time and score, time and score. I said, you're so used to seeing it on your TV set now that you don't think about it as being a part of your broadcast. And that we're just all used to it. I mean, we're all used to it now. And so you have to tell them over and over again. I said, look, you have to remember it is when you're doing the game on radio, nothing's there. There is no score bug. There is no time. All right? There is no first down line. So you have to tell everybody what's going on with everything. And so I have to remind them of that. It's one of the many reasons I love doing radio. Because, you know, you have to be all that stuff. For me, that's the fun part.
Steve, I do have a bit of a throwback trivia question for you if you have time to take it.
Sure.
So, I just saw this today, and it's because of Nikola Jokic not making it to the finals. I saw that this year is the first year the league MVP isn't in the finals. Since what year? Can you tell me?
Since what year?
Yes. When's the last time a league MVP wasn't playing in the finals? It's been longer than you probably think.
I am going to say Larry Bird.
Not quite that far. It was 1990. So can you tell me who that MVP was and who was playing in the finals?
90 would have been Detroit. I think they won it, right?
Yep, 4-1.
And obviously, Isaiah Thomas wasn't the MVP, so the MVP was probably Michael Jordan.
It was not.
No, who was it?
Magic Johnson.
Magic Johnson.
Yes, 2 years before he retired.
Well, he was forced to retire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, long time. I really could care less about MVPs. I think first of all, it's great for the player because they get a bonus. Okay.
Yeah.
It is great for the fan base because they love the fact that they have their MVP. I mean, it was great for Sixer fans last year that Joel Embiid was the MVP, right? Well, he didn't play in the finals.
No.
So your trivia question's bad.
Okay, I'm sorry, Steve. I'll come prepared with something better next time.
Joel Embiid was the MVP last year, and they didn't even get out of the second round.
I apologize. That was a bit of a fluky question.
It's okay.
Hey, to be fair, ESPN posted that question, so I'm only reading that question to you. I'm not the one who came up with it.
Well, that tells you everything. The worldwide leader in sports, which has done more to foul up sports broadcasting.
I think the question may have had a little bit of an asterisk, like, with the exception of injury, because Embiid did get injured last year. Maybe that. Like Johnson was fully healthy and his team got eliminated, but that's the last time the MVP got clean eliminated. Maybe that's what they meant.
No, I think ESPN just fouled it up.
You might be right.
They do a lot of stuff on that network where I sit back and say, what are you doing?
Yes. That's why you stick with WKOK.
They did something the other day that was like, what?
They do a lot of things that are like, what?
It had something to do with, like, I remember when they've already done the thing this year where they've mixed up Kansas and Kansas State. They've had graphics that, I mean, you're sitting there like, who's doing this stuff?
Guy's the same age as me, probably.
Yeah, but you're smart.
I appreciate that, Steve.
There he is.